This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in. All right, hello everyone. Welcome, good evening. This is our second episode of Sexual Inclusion Network. I am Christiane Bella. I am your host. And with me tonight is Amanda Jay. Let's bring Amanda on. She is an astrology expert, and she's going to join us so we can talk about relationships and the stars, star-crossed lovers. Amanda?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you. Welcome to the Network.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got into astrology.
Okay. It's interesting. I was going through my Saturn return, which is a big transition point in astrology where our sign Saturn comes back to its original position in our birth charts. Saturn is our planet of challenges and limitations, and like a lot of changes can happen during that time period, like typically around age like 28 to 29. Mm-hmm. And so I had like all these changes, like career changes and relationship changes. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And I have a friend who like I wasn't really familiar or like close with him at the time. He was like, hey, maybe you want to look into astrology. And he was a total expert. So he was really showing me like what was going on in my birth chart. And just like everything he said made so much sense that I was like, okay, I need to like keep learning all of this. And it was just kind of deeper and deeper into everything along with that, because it was such a powerful experience, and like everything just made sense through the planets in like a different way that I had not really understood before.
I love that, because I think most of us just know like, okay, you know, I'm a Pisces. You know, most of us have like a very rudimentary knowledge of like, okay, well, that's my sign, but it's so much broader than that. So can you kind of give us a little like Cliff Notes version of, you know, there's like rising signs and like other things at play, and like you were talking about, you know, just like, can you kind of give us a little bigger overview of all that?
Yeah. So when we see our birth charts, it's basically like a big circle, and it has all 12 of the zodiac signs in it. And then it has all of these planets in it. So we have our sun sign is what people typically know as their zodiac. Like you would be a sun sign Pisces. And like that, you know, that's like the basic knowledge that most people know. And then, but we also have our moon sign as a huge piece of our charts. This is where our emotions are, like how we express them. And then we have our rising sign, which is also like this huge piece of our personality. It can be similar to our sun sign in that our sun sign is our personality. But when certain characteristics of that particular zodiac sign don't resonate with us, then that can be because we have this other rising sign. So I always suggest people look at both of those and see, you know, what qualities from each kind of make sense to them. And then, yeah, we have our Venus sign, which can tell us about love, and our Mars sign, which can tell us about energy and motivation. We have Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn, and then it breaks it up into 12 houses. And so it's kind of like a little, it's like a big slice of pie. And then each of the 12 houses means different things. And then so everybody has like this different unique makeup of where these planets are and then like what angles they have to each other, kind of like how they communicate with each other within ourselves. but then we all, like, we all have all of the planets there, and we all have all of the zodiac signs. So as unique as we all are, like, we still have all the same stuff. So we're, like, what I always say is that we're all so connected, but, like, all these details are unique to us.
I love that, right, because it is. It's all, like, the same cosmic makeup, but it's kind of, like, that's your version, like, your stream of that, you know, whole cosmic piece is, like, you know, it's almost like when you play with paints, like, yeah, like, we all have the same, you know, basic rainbow colors we're working with, but, like, you're going to do something different with that than what I'm going to do with it, and then that, you know, we kind of reflect that to each other.
Yeah.
So, I love, you actually came out recently and did my husband's birth chart, and it was so insightful because, you know, I know, like I said, a little bit, like, I know I'm a Pisces, which is a water sign, and he was, like, all these fire signs, and I was like, yeah, that makes so much how we, like, look to each other. And so, in addition to, yeah, planets, and there's also these elements that play into how our signs relate to each other and, like, our own personal lives. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So, all of the signs have, like, they're either fire, air, earth, or water. And so then where we have each of the signs, like, if I have Saturn in Capricorn, that's where I have Saturn, then it would be an earth sign because Capricorn's an earth element. So then, yeah, you kind of, like, add up, or, like, some different websites will just give it to you of how many planets you have in earth signs or water signs and air signs. And it can kind of be, like, basically, like, a percentage of, like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm mostly water, or I'm mostly air. And then what that can mean is, like, so many different things. Like, if somebody has a ton of fire in their chart, like, they're very, like, motivated. And, like, they're, like, they have these ideas. They just, like, put it into action. Like, fire is action. Now, if we have, like, a ton of earth in our charts, then we might be, like, more slowed down and more, like, focused on the grounding and, like, the coming up with a plan. And it might take a really long time. And then, you know, how that unfolds for each of us can be different. And then air signs, we can be totally, like, up in the air. Like, we have all these ideas, but not always have, like, the best sense of, like, putting them into action. And then water is, like, this ability to flow and move with the energy. And also it has just, like, this deep emotional component to it, you know, like, obviously, like, water as in tears, and, like, the ability to release things and shift and change and, like, to feel. So I find that people who have a lot of water in their charts, like, they are deep feelers. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are empaths or, like, highly intuitive. Just, like, very, very much feelers.
And so then there's also, it's, like, mutable, fixed, and is it cardinal? Is that right? Like,
yes.
Right. So, yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. Because, like, I know I'm a Pisces, so I think that's, like, a mutable water. But, like, my ex-husband, he was a Scorpio, which I think is fixed water. And I always felt that that was one of the reasons why we had this struggle. Because, like, my water was like, let's move and play and flow like a river. And his water was, like, stagnant. Like, no. Like, we're, like, frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, the cardinal signs are, they can be, like, initiators, and then the fixed signs are, like, they can be stubborn, or, like, have, you know, this set way of, like, they think it's supposed to be like this, or, and then mutable, yeah, like you're saying, is, like, more of this kind of flow and, like, changeability with things. It can be some of that, like, water energy. Yeah, especially if you have mutable water, then you're just like, okay, let's see where this goes, and, like, let's see where this flows. Right. Yeah, it's very interesting.
So if you are watching via Facebook Live, or if you are listening, via Blog Talk Radio. This is a call-in show, so this is like old-school style, like Dr. Ruth, Dr. Drew. You can actually call in and talk to us. So the number to call is 319-527-6205. So you can call in if you have questions, if you have a story you want to share about love, relationships, astrology, whatever you've got going on. One of the reasons why I was inspired to do a call-in show, besides that, I really grew up listening to stuff like that, was that rather than like Facebook Live where like people can see you and you have like profile and stuff, was that this is a way to be anonymous. So you can like anonymously call us and share or ask anything you want. So one more time, I'll give you the number is 319-527-6205. So give us a call, jump in, join the conversation. We would love to hear from you. So when you date, is that like one of the first questions you ask people? Down to run their birth chart.
So when I, especially like when I've done online dating, like dating apps and stuff, you know, you have your basic like intro questions or comments or whatever. And then I'm like, so, do you know when you're like, you know, what time were you born and all that? Like, I try to kind of get these details. So it's funny, like people who don't necessarily know a whole lot about astrology might just like give it to you right away. And some of the dating apps like already show it, like they'll show, not like the birth chart, but they'll show like that they're a Virgo or, you know, whatever. It's always interesting to see or to ask and like see someone's response to it, or they might be like, why do you want to know this? And I'm like, oh, I'm just curious. But yeah, I've definitely like seen someone's birth chart and kind of, you know, judged it in my own way and been like, I don't know that this would be a thing. So, and yeah, that's totally happened before where I'm like, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. So it was what it was.
I'm going to bring our, so here we go. Hello. Hello. You are live with us on Sexual Inclusion Network. Would you like to share your name, or do you want to stay anonymous?
My name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, I'm so excited to be on. My question tonight is about, I've never understood the whole thing about twin flames. So I was wondering if that's real, and then what does that even mean, and is that something that's kind of like in the topic of star-crossed lovers or that we're talking about tonight? I was just wanting to put that out there and see what you guys thought.
All right. Amanda, do you want to jump on that first? Twin flame?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So my understanding of twin flame, although I am still learning about this, it can kind of be like this otherworldly or even like kind of like this energy that you've like known each other for other lifetimes or like past lifetimes. And so you guys come into this lifetime and you have these lessons to learn. And it can be like this magnetic type of connection. People who I've talked to who have experienced this, they say it's like really hard to stop talking to this person, or like they've tried to, you know, leave it behind and it never really works out the way they, you know, want it to. I'm definitely kind of still grasping the concept, although I do have some friends who have had twin flames, or, you know, people who have felt they had a twin flame at the time and then afterwards said they didn't really have one, or that it wasn't necessarily that connection. I think I'm not necessarily sure about it.
Yeah, I would say my is sometimes it's like the not so pretty relationship. Like, I've often found that, like, those moments where I felt like twin flame moments ended up being, like Amanda was mentioning, like the person that you like try to get away from, but she can't. feeling pulled back to them. So I've always kind of looked at it similar to like a soulmate-ish aspect, but that, yeah, like prior to, you know, being here in this carnation, like your energies knew each other, you know, and so I feel like twin flames aren't even always necessarily romantic. Like, I remember having this like deep twin flame moment with somebody who I met pretty casually, and we went on like one date, but like I looked into their eyes and I totally was like, oh my God, like we had like other lives together, and like I just felt like we knew so much about each other for people who had just met. But then that was it. Like, we had this like beautiful bonding moment, and then kind of went our separate ways. And it was like somebody, you know, I dated on and off through high school that like lingered on into my 20s, and like that person would just come and I'm like, you're like crack. Like, what is it? like, I know that it's like the same thing of feeling like, you know, almost like unfinished karma. Like, there was still something to resolve there. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely those moments where you kind of spark, and you know, even with like best friends where you're just like, oh my God, like we were like meant to meet, you know, you meet under like really casual circumstances, like somehow you just like align and it's like, oh wow. But I think similar to soulmates, like you don't necessarily maybe have like only one twin flame ever. Like, you know, these people show up and there's like this powerful light that connects you, and like any fire, I mean, you know, talking about, it's like, it's going to burn out likely, you know, at some point, like, the likelihood is it'll, you know, run its course. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think there is like a potent connection we have to certain people for reasons that just seem unexplainable. It's just like, it's you. I know it's you.
that
kind of answer your question? Have you had twin flame moments, Stephanie? Like, have you met someone and just been like, oh wow, like maybe you're the one kind of thing? Or,
well, it's so funny because when you said crack, I remember like in my past, like a long time ago, there was this guy that I was like, when I talked to him, I was like out of my body, like freaking out, and it was such a powerful connection, and it was definitely like what you're saying, Christiane, about you were like learning through this experience. Like, it was definitely something where I was learning a lot of lessons, and the energy was so strong that it was a lot for me to deal with. But then when I passed through it, I feel like I learned so much, and it was like such an important person in my life. But I didn't understand if like a twin flame is related to astrology. I guess it's kind of all related. Like, it's all like in your purpose and your path and how you're made and how everyone else is made. But I've never understood that, and I feel like I now, listening to you guys, I understand what that means a little bit more.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your question and sharing your story. So yeah, thanks for joining us. You have a great night.
Thank you guys. You guys
thank
are awesome.
You, Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye. Yay. I love this. This is so fun.
Yeah.
I totally grew up with this, like as a kid. Like, this is like, you know, my jam. Like, I didn't even really care for Howard Stern so much, but just like the fun of like people calling in and like talking, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw that this was an option. I'm like, oh my God, this is better than a podcast or anything. Like, I have to like talk to strangers. So cool. So yeah, so one more time, if you want to jump in and join the conversation, our call-in number is 319-527-6205. If you have a question or just a story you want to share, we would love to hear from you. So yeah, I always ask people when, you know, like first or second date, yeah, like what your sign is, because I kind of know now. I'm like, okay, I don't really like do well with Scorpios. Like, that's not a good match. I'm with a Sagittarius, we like party way too hard, nothing really gets done. Like, it's not fun, but like, it's not healthy. It's just like total riot. And like Aquariuses, I do really well with Aquariuses. Tauruses, not so much either. Like, we tend to like, we'll bond really quickly, but then we'll like butt heads like really easily. So yeah, so it's interesting. Like, do you have ones where you're just like, if someone tells you like, oh, that's my sign, you're like, I don't know, that might be a yellow flag. Like,
yeah, I think for me, it's Aries people that I've not necessarily like jived with in the dating realm. That is, like, you know, they're fire and they will be really quick about things and like ask you on a date like for like that afternoon, and I'm like, whoa, like, hold on. And I mean, I grew up with some Aries people. Like, I, you know, my mom and my sister are both Aries, and like the way they navigate life is like they want something right now, and like they're like, we don't have time to like sit around and wait. And I'm like, and you know, I'm so much air energy and earth energy, that I'm like, I need to like take my time and like, you know, it, just hang out and just, I don't know. But yeah, I do find that sometimes it's when someone's like, I'm an Aries, I'm like, oh, let's see how this is. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, sorry, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just retrograde stuff, because like right now it's Venus, right? Venus is in retrograde. I think there's a couple other ones, like Jupiter, and is it Saturn also or in retrograde right now?
Oh dear. Yeah, so Venus and Jupiter and Saturn, yeah, they all went retrograde like real close together recently. It was earlier this month. And yeah, Venus is our planet of love. So, oh, and also Pluto is in retrograde. Yeah. So Venus being our planet of love, like how we show love, how we receive love, that when it's in retrograde, retrogrades in general are a period of time where it's like more reflection and inner reflection. And sometimes it's like not the best time to start new relationships. And especially when Mercury goes retrograde, that's something you'll hear a lot is like, you know, be careful with those new relationships. I would even say more so when Mercury is in retrograde rather than when Venus is in retrograde. Because Mercury has the things about communication and just like things get easily misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so right now it can be a time period of Venus retrograde where we're like reflecting on past relationships or how we've shown our love to other people, you know, whether that is romantic like partnerships or, mm-hmm. you know, friendships or just any type of connection.
I knew this person who went through like great lengths to try to find like this perfect date alignment, you know, stars and planets and everything to like get married on, to like somehow ensure that like, you know, the marriage is going to be good. And they're divorced now. So I'm like, I mean, you can certainly try, but obviously like some things are just, you know, beyond your ability to like, you know, micromanage the cosmic alignment. Stuff. I've always taken note, you know, like when Mercury is in retrograde more, because I don't know why it never occurred to me until recently that all the planets, you know, because everyone always talks about Mercury in retrograde, so I guess no one ever like mentioned the other ones to me, and it just didn't, you know, register. But now I've been paying attention. I'm like, oh, okay, that planet means this, and so if that goes in retrograde, like that, you know. But yeah, in dating, like, if we had to have like a serious conversation, I would be like, okay, like you know, mm. like, maybe it's better if, like, we write things down, because then at least it's, like, concrete, as opposed to, you know, because inevitably, like, I'd have a conversation and someone would be like, that's not what I said. I'm like, or vice versa, I'd be like, you know, like, you're not listening, like, so, being, like, really mindful. And I knew somebody once, and they, like, needed to buy a new car, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to wait till Mercury's out of retrograde. Like, I'm not doing this right now. And I was like, I totally get it. Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's really, you know, better to, like, feel comfortable. Even if, like, you know, because I've had people be like, well, like, what if it's just, like, a placebo effect? And I'm like, but, like, placebo effects do affect things. So err on the cautious side and, like, be mindful of that. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's so true to just kind of like, you know, just check in. Like, it doesn't hurt anything to just be like, hey, like, what's happening right now? I definitely felt earlier this month like this, like I was super motivated. And I guess like for a period of time, all the planets were direct. And so I was like, I was hustling and like getting stuff done. And then this like shift happened, like, you know, like about a week or week and a half ago, where I was just like, I don't want to do anything right now.
Yeah.
And then I looked at my little calendar and I was like, oh, these planets have like, a lot explains a lot. Like, it actually made me feel better. I was like, okay, like, it's not just my imagination. It just felt like everything was like, So, yeah, it's good to know that. Like, because the way I see it is like, you know, we know that there's magnetic poles. It moves the tide, like, you know, the whole like gravity ratio. So it's like, of course, these things are going to affect us because we're mostly water and like we're on this like magnetic giant grid. So yeah, if a planet moves or something adjusts, like we're gonna feel it. Like there's a vibration that, you know, that how do you kind of see the way it like plays out?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just because we can't see something like doesn't mean it's not there. We can still feel it. And sometimes it does help us to just be like, oh, okay, well, this planet moves, like maybe that could be a thing, you know, mm-hmm. and there's meteor showers and there's, you know, weather and there's all those things as well that can influence us. So, yeah, I always tend to experience the retrogrades as in like this more slowed down time period, or even like I pay attention to what sign the moon is moving through, and it moves through all of the signs within 30 days. So, you know, on the fire moons, sometimes time is like really fast. And then on the earth moons, it's like time's moving so slowly. Why is this? And when we start to just like be more mindful and pay attention to those things, and it kind of just makes more sense to us. You know, like back in whatever time period, people would look up to the stars for answers, and we were just more in tune with the understanding of nature and the shifts and things. Like, just maybe we would notice like something was different in the sky, but like we don't really look up at the sky so much now. So, you know, we're focused on Googling for an answer and being like, well, what's going on? Why am I feeling crazy? But, you know, the truth is, like, if we just feel something, then we just feel it. And we're totally allowed to, because we are molecules and a bunch of stuff. And whatever comes into our energy field can influence us. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't always have to make sense. Definitely not. So it can just be that we need to feel that. Like when you think about children, you know, if they're around a bunch of people and a bunch of stimulation, like they may feel antsy, or they might need to like jump around and like let something out of their body because maybe some type of energy was too much for them at that time, or it got stuck, or, you know, however it impacted their energy field. And again, that's something that, like, we don't necessarily pay attention to as much nowadays, although we are starting to shift back in that direction.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I love when I get to go out to the country, because then you can actually see the stars and, like, mm-hmm. stargazing, and I've done, like, moon gazing meditations, and it's so powerful to just really and think about, like, wow, like, this used to be the normal thing. Like, you know, now, I mean, I live in, like, the heart of Nashville. Like, outside right now, I'm, like, lucky if I see, like, two stars. Like, you know, I can, like, usually see the moon, and that's pretty much about it. So, yeah, I think it's so important to kind of, like, take that time where you can to connect. And, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I feel like there's, you know, there's definitely this shift of, like, kind of going back to, like, the roots of stuff. I got turned on a few, yeah, I guess it's a moment or not, to Wee Moon. It's, like, this group of, like, powerful witchy elder women that collaborate from all over the world. And they collect all this data. Like, they have, you know, they kind of map out for a year, like, you know, this planet's going to be here. And like you said, like, the moon is here on this date and this, you know, and all of these things. And so that's been really helpful, too, to just kind of see, like, yeah, like, these changes happen pretty frequently. Like, every, like, some happen every few days. Others take a lot longer. Others, like, are, like, months at a time. Like, the thing about the Saturn returns, and then it happens, like, you know, in, like, a seven-year cycle in relation to your birth chart. So, just, yeah, kind of having an idea of, like, you know, how things adjust. Some stuff is meant to be a little more rapid, and other things are this, like, long game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about if you want to, like, find some stuff out. I know you do, like I said, I got my husband a birth chart reading. So you do birth chart readings. And what else do you provide as far as, like, astrology and insight for people who are interested in acquiring your skills and services?
Yeah, I do birth chart readings, which can be in person or through Zoom. I can always combine it with Reiki or a tarot reading. I also do reflexology. Sometimes I will do like, look into people's charts, like, together, if it's a relationship that they'd like more insight on. You know, again, like, whether that's a partnership or, like, a parent-child or best friends, like, to see their strengths and then maybe, like, where they may come up against, like, butting heads with each other and or, like, how to move through issues or, like, you know, obviously, if you basically it would look like you put someone's chart on top of each other and see, like, what planets hit each other and then what planets are across from each other and how, like, how that could play out. And then we have the planets where they are around us. And so how, like presently what could be coming up in their connection or, you know, where they would want some insight in moving through something. I love astrology for our own self-discovery, but also for relationships, because it can kind of, like, zoom out, whereas, like, partnerships, like, people can start blaming each other. But when we, like, look at the stars, then it's like, this isn't their fault that they're going through this. Like, maybe they just don't know how to explain this or, like, how they're experiencing this. And it's, you know, whatever's going on, that it's not necessarily their fault. And it's not necessarily, like, blame everything on the stars or whatever. Definitely take ownership for what's going on and everyone's own behaviors. But it does kind of give this, like, zoomed out perspective of, well, of course that's going on right now because this planet's doing this in your chart and your charts together already have this. So, like, this is where we can do some healing work on.
Right. Yeah. It's just a great tool, I think, to have, you know, the more information you can acquire, the better. So, yeah, I love that because I think it's so true. You know, I do a lot of work with relationship coaching and sex education, and, you know, at the heart of it all, I mean, we're in relationship with everything. We're in relationship, obviously, with ourselves, you know, not just romantically, but everything, every friendship, acquaintance, coworkers, like, whatever it is, you have a relationship in one form or another with every single person you come in encounter with and every, you know, activity you take part in. So, yeah, it's a great way to kind of, like, have, like you said, like, this really nice bird's eye view of everything to get like some more insight and have more compassion, you know, that you could maybe just take it in stride a little bit more. So have you ever dated someone who was the same sign as you?
I don't think I have. I'm an Aquarius.
Okay.
And I don't think I have dated anyone who was also an Aquarius. So Aquarians like need to be special and different and unique. And so if there's like two of that personality competing, like that's not necessarily going to be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I dated a Pisces once, and it was one of those, like, magical things in the beginning, but then it almost was like, yeah, like, we kind of canceled each other out. It's like if you have two people who are, like, super positive and dreamers and, like, really passionate and, like, yeah, super, like, feeling and, you know, it was, like, it was really fun at first, but then I was, like, we're not teaching each other anything. We're just kind of, like really mirroring each other, and it's, like, okay, like, yeah. I kind of spread this energy around, like, is it really doing good, like, bouncing off of one another?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like, something interesting to explore and be, like, okay, like, that might, you know, that might be the best thing. So sometimes people talk about being on the cusp. What does that mean?
Yeah. So, like, whenever the sun, which is, like, the zodiac sign, whenever the sun moves into the next sign, like, on that day, depending on, like, the exact time that person's born, if they have their exact time, they would know specifically which sign their sun would be in. But if they're just, like, June 21st, then they'd be on the cusp of two different signs. So they may think they're a Gemini, but they might actually be a Cancer. And then we look into their birth chart with the exact time, then they would see it. So for those people, they may have a lot of qualities for both signs. But like then again, like it would just be one of them, but so close to the other that it can be confusing. It can be like two different personalities. And then you add the rising sign, which is would be like a third personality.
Right. Yeah. I have a client who he's like, you know, I'm a Scorpio and my brother's a Scorpio, but like we're totally different. And I asked him and he's like, yeah, I was like, oh, because that's like the cusp. And he just kind of looked at me like, all right, like it's getting too cold. And I was like, like he's a Scorpio, but like he's like on that like other side where it's like it becomes like a tipping point. It's like the difference between like, well, it's day and it's night. Like at some point there, you know, like, yeah, the sun maybe hasn't set and the moon hasn't totally, but you're kind of in the middle there. Like, so you kind of get a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And then there's some other things like, and I might totally butcher saying this. Is it Chiron?
Chiron.
Chiron. Okay.
That's a hard one. A lot of people mess that one up. Or I mean, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Like some people may call it Chiron or something. I don't know.
So those aren't exactly planets, right? But they are
right.
These, like, tell me a little bit more because I know there's like a couple of them and that's just the one that like I happen to remember.
Yeah. So like some aspects of our birth chart can be like depending on who is pulling your chart, like we can pull asteroids and like other mathematical calculations and points in the sky and whatever. So Chiron, it's not a planet, but it can be like a dwarf planet or a planetoid or something. I don't even necessarily know what its specific terminology right now. But I always look into Chiron because I feel like it's a huge piece of our birth charts in a lot of times in like helping people move towards their purpose because it represents our deepest challenge, but also the, how that challenge, like how we use that challenge to turn it into a strength, to turn it into our greatest gift that we give back to the world. And then, yeah, so there's also like the North and South Node, which are not planets. They're points. And again, like I'm like my own astrologer friend would be better at explaining what that is. But in astrology terms, that is like our North Node points us into our purpose, and our South Node is like what we leave behind or what we are familiar with, our comfort zones. But in this, like in this incarnation with all these planets, we are supposed to be reaching towards that North Node, like going towards this purpose. We're on this journey. And we're taking the South Node and like taking what we're good at, but we're not getting stuck in those types of things. We may just like take some of those qualities and like move towards that purpose. But for some people, they may get stuck in that South Node, you know, and then you would kind of feel out that energy with them because they may not be really happy people. They would kind of, you know, they would have their own limiting beliefs about what life is supposed to be like. And that, yeah, that goes into a whole different thing.
Oh, wow. All right. I love that. So Facebook Live, somebody jumped in with a question, Julie. Cool. And the question is, what part of the chart deals with Lilith?
Deals with Lilith, yeah. Black Moon Lilith. Yeah, so it would just depend on where Black Moon Lilith shows up in your chart individually. Right now, I believe she's moving through Aries. So then whatever house you have Aries in, she may be influencing that house. And so Black Moon Lilith is this shadow piece of ourselves. It also can illuminate some of our fears. So since she's moving through Aries right now, and Aries is like the sign of the natural leader, this can be where some fears come up regarding like owning our own power as a leader, our own qualities of leadership that we all have within us. Like at this time period, like if anything comes up of these like inner demon voices that are like, no, you can't do that. You're not a good leader. Like that's really Black Moon Lilith, and she's testing us to see, you know, are we going to listen to that and sit down? Or are we going to be like, no, like this is what I feel is my true purpose. And actually, you know, it's okay to experience this fear or, you know, whatever, this discomfort, but to be able to move through that and empower ourselves in the process.
I love that. I can't believe I've gone this whole time and not known about Black Moon Lilith. And I'm assuming, like, the Lilith in regards to, like, the woman that was predates Eve as far as being, like, the first kind of, like, female entity. Is that sort of what it ties to or where the name came from, or?
That's a good question that I really need to look into, because some of these, like a lot of the asteroids, they'll be related to like the Roman or Greek gods and goddesses. So yeah, like then the symbolism is related to their story. So yeah, I'm going to have to look into that one because I was just focusing on what she means and how that relates to the signs.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. I know we all, there's always, I feel like, you know, Pandora's box, there's always like so much more you can dig into.
Of course.
So we have about 10 minutes left. If you're out there and you want to call, we would love to hear from you. One more time, the number is 319-527-6205. If you have a story to share or a question you want to ask, give us a ring. You can hop on, join the conversation, join the fun. So let's see, what have we not talked about yet? Is there... I guess it might be challenging because, like you said, there's like always these like rising signs or something. But would you say, you know, there are ones that usually kind of line up? Like I'm a Pisces. Like, are there certain signs that you're like, okay, you know, you probably should go look for, like, you know, whose signs would probably match up kind of thing, or?
I mean, it depends. Like, I mean, you already have some experience of, like, what you have not really jived with. But, yeah, if you kind of, like, bringing back the elements of it, like, if you think of water, you know, you have water and fire, which can, like, it can go both ways. Like, that can be... it can be an experience where, like, someone's putting out someone's fire, and then that's not going to be a positive, you know, growth relationship. It's just going to kind of be like, you know, people angry at each other. And then if you have fire and air, that can be like super passionate and super like, oh, the air signs are going to bring all these awesome ideas. The fire is gonna just like run with all these ideas, or it can be just like this big old explosion and just like blow up each other's face. So yeah, and then I mean, there's been like the opposites of each other. So, like an Aquarius, they're complete opposite. So when you look at the birth chart, you just look at the opposite sign. The opposite of Aquarius is Leo. So like, this is a really good, like mirror for us of like things that we don't necessarily think that we are, but we all are all the things anyways. But for Leos, like I don't think I've ever dated a Leo either. And I wonder if maybe it's because of that mirror. Sometimes it's just like too much. Oh man. Yeah. So, and then, yeah. So Leo is fire and Aquarius is air, actually air. So that can just be an explosive thing. Or again, it could be just this really positive, awesome thing. Interesting. Yeah. I've had pretty significant relationships with Capricorns. And when I look at my birth chart, Capricorn is in my seventh house, which is the house of partnerships and marriages. Mm-hmm. Those have always tended to be maybe like the longest relationships I've had and maybe like the most grounded, and Capricorn's an earth sign. And I also have three planets in Capricorn, so kind of like my planets would hit their sun sign, or like if you think of it as like the sun lights things up, like their sun sign would light up some of my planets, and that could be like activation, or like they bring growth into my life regarding like what those planets mean.
I love that. So there are two more things that popped up via Facebook. One was, what do you mean by black moon? So I guess that one first, and then we'll pop in.
So it can be like, we can think of it similar to Chiron, as in like she's not a planet, she's not like a Mercury, but she is something that some astrologists might pull in the chart. And then we would kind of just interpret it the way we would interpret like where you have your Mercury or where you have your sun sign. She, like, again, she represents some fears within us or our shadow side. So when you want to do some shadow work, Black Moon Lilith might be that piece where we look. Really, she just looks like a little moon, but it's colored in. So you would have your regular moon sign, or like where the moon is in your birth chart, what sign it's in. And then you would have Black Moon Lilith. And where she is, and she'd be like a dark moon. Okay. So it kind of shows us like the light and the dark. It can show us like the these maybe like these hidden pieces within us.
Okay. And so that's different than, for those who are kind of new to all this, like the moon itself, like our Earth moon, has its own cycle where it goes into what we would call like the new moon, right? Where the moon is dark, like see the moon. So that's like, this is like a totally different moon out there, not our moon. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so the other one was, what planet or aspect is not talked about enough outside of like sun, moon, rising? Is there another planet or aspect that you would say people should maybe know about?
I mean, I would say Chiron. I mean, I talk about it a lot, but since it's not necessarily a planet, it's not always automatically showing up when you pull a birth chart, like on some websites online. Although it's in there, I think it's in this booklet. But yeah, I've always felt drawn to Chiron. Chiron's in my first house and it's right next to my moon. So I personally feel the impact of Chiron. And I mean, it's such a powerful thing of like, we've experienced this wound or this like really deep, challenging experience. And then we use that, and we help other people. So yeah, if people come to me and they're like, I don't know what my purpose is, one of the things I'm looking at is Chiron. And sometimes that is like to help them, to have some validation in like the shit that they've gone through, and to help them move past it being so heavy.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that was something I noticed, you know, when you did the reading for Martin, was that like just so much was like, okay, like, because you talked about not just like things in the future or things happening in the present, but this like insight to like past stuff. And it was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense now. Like, it just,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This like sense of like reassurance and like, all right, I get it now. Like it all, like this piece, like really tied it all together. So, I love that. Well, yeah, this has been so insightful. And just so much fun talking to you. I want to thank our caller Stephanie for calling in. I know, it can be very like nerve wracking to like dare to, you know, hop on and share your stuff, but you did, and I love that, and thank you for calling in, and thank you everyone for listening, thank you for watching on Facebook Live. So yes, my guest today has been Amanda Jay, astrologer. Her business is Sacred Moon Space. You can find her online. Highly recommend her, not just for astrology, but her reflexology is amazing. Oh my God. Some of my absolute favorite body work that I've ever had done. So thank you for being here with us tonight, Amanda Jay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. You have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. All right. See ya.
Bye. All right, everyone, I am Christiane Bella. This has been the Sexual Inclusion Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. It's tricky. I've been, like, trying to talk into the Facebook camera thing, and, like, at the same time, I need to stay near the microphone. So, yes, Christiane Bella. I am a sexual education facilitator, healer, life coach, yoga teacher, all around awesome human being, spreading good joy and encouraging you to share your stories, because your stories matter. And so we love having you here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this and passing it on. And we will see you again next week. We are here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee. All right, everyone, have a great night.